The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Samaritas, the state's largest private foster care and adoption agency. However, Samaritas also provides a number of other services around the state. They are one of the largest refugee resettlement agencies in Michigan. They serve homeless families, persons with disabilities, abused and trafficked women. They also provide market rate and affordable housing for seniors and HUD housing for families, and also have skilled nursing, memory care, and rehab communities in Grand Rapids, Cadillac, and Saginaw. Samaritas, we thank them for their support here at Deadline Detroit. Hey everybody, happy Monday. Welcome to the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Glad to have you with me today. Coming up on today's program, we're going to talk a bit about transit in the region and what is the future of mobility in our region. Transportation Riders United is hosting an event on Wednesday night here in downtown Detroit that you might be interested in. We'll talk a bit about equity in transit with my friend Megan Owens from Transportation Riders United. She'll be joining us on the program. And of course, after that, my friend Pat Batchelor will join us to talk a little bit about the weekend in football. Not good if you're a Wolverines and Lions fan. And we'll also talk a bit about the Tigers as well. They're not playing in the World Series, but it seems like half their old pitching staff is. That's all coming up on The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Stick around. Thanks. The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Mad Dog Professional Services. Mad Dog Professional Services focuses on putting their clients on the leading edge of technology faster than thought possible to capture new revenue streams. That's Mad Dog Professional Services. Hey, Craig here. Thanks for checking out the show on this Monday. I really do appreciate it. And for those of you who have been involved in the transit debate or the decades-long transit discussion here in Southeast Michigan, well, there's an event coming up on Wednesday that might give you a little bit of clarity on what sort of planning is being done and what sort of thoughts they're giving to future mobility options. Transportation Riders United is hosting the Mobility and Equity event coming up on October 23rd. It is here in downtown Detroit. It starts at 5:30 in the afternoon at 1 Woodward, and you can find information about it at DetroitTransit.org. You'll see a link to it right there. Joining me right now to talk a little bit more about where we are when it comes to regional transit is my friend Megan Owens. She's the Executive Director of Transportation Riders United. Megan, welcome back. It's always a pleasure.
Happy to be here.
Well, you've got this event coming up on Wednesday. It's at 1 Woodward, the Beacon Room at 1 Woodward, which is the Yamasaki building right downtown, just about a block away from where we sit right now. It's the Mobility and Equity event coming up. Now, let's begin by what we're talking about mobility and equity, because I think this is something that gets lost in the conversation a lot.
Sure. Well, we know that transportation and mobility are changing a lot, especially around here, whether it's people using Uber and Lyft, whether it's e-scooters popping up, whether it's the ever-approaching autonomous vehicles, or the dozen different apps you can use. There's a lot of different ways technology is changing, which is generally great, but who is it changing for? Who is being planned for when these technologies and these new apps are coming together? Is a person in a wheelchair able to use some of these new things? Most can't use a scooter or even an Uber or Lyft. There are no wheelchair accessible vehicles. If someone doesn't have a smartphone or doesn't have a credit card or bank account, can they be part of this mobility revolution? So we want to make sure, not at the back end, that these things are addressed, but as they're being developed, let's make sure they're developed in a way that benefits everyone and we're not leaving people behind.
Well, and I think, a lot of people take that stuff for granted, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you can just punch up your phone and get an Uber and get a ride anywhere you need to go. If you don't have mobile service or if you don't have a credit card, you are left out of that service. So we think we're filling these gaps when in reality, we might be actually increasing them.
Well, as long as there remain options. There's no problem in bringing in something new that might make life more convenient for some, but you can't take away options. I think it's nice to look at how Mogo Bike Share, when they came in, they really made a very strategic effort to ensure that it wasn't just like for the elites, for the new Detroit, anything like that. So they developed a $5 I'm not going to forget what the name is, but a special value pass, discount pass.
Sure.
For anyone who's on any state assistance, you can get a MOGO pass for the entire year for $5. They want to make sure that it's affordable and accessible to everyone. And that's one way. And you can buy those at a number of different community locations. So while there is an app, there's also other options that are available to everyone. That's just one example.
Well, it also seems when we're talking about equity and mobility, I mean, a lot of the new transportation options exist downtown. They're here mm-hmm. for people who are commuting, maybe parking. They want to take a scooter from their parking garage to wherever. Or,
yeah.
Again, MOGO bikes started down here. Yeah. But they've spread to other locations.
Yeah.
A lot of that is obviously density, mm-hmm. where they think that the concentration of people are going to be. But how do we make sure that those things are, again, readily available to people in some of the far-flung neighborhoods? Or can we?
Well, part of the reason we're having this event is we don't have all the answers
sure.
yet. We're bringing together both a couple of experts. There's an amazing group called Shared Use Mobility Center that's been studying this all across the country and helping cities figure out some of these very questions. We're going to have experts from Ford Smart Mobility and VIA, as well as Bedrock. Their parking department expanded to a parking and mobility department because they recognize it's more than just about the cars. So we don't necessarily have all the answers, but we're bringing in a number of these experts to share their experience. And we're going to be asking everyone who attends to share their ideas. The Regional Transit Authority is working on an updated transit plan. And one of the specific questions is, how is new mobility going to be addressed? We know that we need things like more frequent buses and going out to places that can't be reached. But we also know that transit needs to be integrated with all of these different new mobility modes. So the RTA is actively looking for ideas and suggestions. And so we're going to be gathering those. So maybe one of your listeners has the answer for us.
Well, you know, we were talking about accessibility and you mentioned somebody who might be in a wheelchair or on one of those electric scooters, not the scooters that we see, the birds,
yeah.
but I'm talking like a Rascal type situation.
Yeah.
I was on the Q line the other day and for all its issues, mm-hmm. The level platform, something
yes.
as simple as a level platform is something that there's two people that I interviewed in wheelchairs on the Q line and
okay.
said, we take this because it's
yeah.
so much easier than waiting on the bus and seeing if they can get the lift to work. And sometimes
yeah.
they're broken and they love that aspect.
Absolutely. As well as for people, moms with parents with strollers or a woman. I watched a woman who just had a walker,
sure.
a walking aid. There's a lot of different people for whom it's much easier to have that level boarding. So that is, again, one way. And there's some efforts to ensure that future rapid transit, whether it's something that goes all the way out to Pontiac or out to the airport, will have features like that level boarding to make it as quick, but also as accessible as possible. That's a good example of something that helps people with disabilities and helps the service for everyone.
Well, you mentioned the RTA.
Yeah.
A lot of people are wondering, what is the status of the RTA? Yes, it does exist, but what authority do they have? Do they have a budget at this point in time? And are they actually getting anything done, especially in the wake of the fact that they have not been successful at getting what they need at the ballot box in the last couple of attempts?
Yeah, they have. Well, they've only been at the ballot box once.
Well, once,
it's important to note.
But
and it
getting,
was very
getting
close.
Back on is going to be difficult.
That
and
is
it
true.
It frankly took, I hate to say this, but it took the passing of L. Brooks Patterson to even get Oakland County to consider it at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And change does happen. I would say the RTA is doing a couple of things. It's a lot more behind the scenes. They are actively working on a number of pilot projects for things like this very topic of how can technology be used to help seniors and people with disabilities better access transit instead of having to schedule things 3 days ahead of time and have to wait around for an hour for the vehicle to come pick them up. They're doing some pilots to use technology to address that gap. They're specifically looking at how to integrate the transit fares among all systems. It's great that Smart, DDOT, and Q-Line are all part of DART, so you can have a single fare to work on any of those. But what's next? How do you get the people mover in there? How do you get something like MoGo in there. So they're looking at a number of specific pilot projects there's several others that I'm not going to go through all of them, but to identify specific ways they can make improvements. And then they're also updating their transit plan. They know that what was put before voters in 2016 didn't quite cut it, and that there were still concerns and questions in 2018 enough that Macomb and Oakland were not willing to get on board. So they've been actively seeking out feedback, making changes to the plan to better address those concerns. And they'll be hopefully coming out with an updated plan in the next proposal in the next few months to say, okay, did we get it right? Is this, in fact, the changes that we need in our region, with hopes of getting it back on the ballot in next November, in just 13 months, allowing the people of Southeast Michigan to vote again and say, is this the right investment in improving transit?
I should remind folks, my guest right now is Megan Owens, Executive Director of Transportation Riders United. There's going to be an event coming up on Wednesday, October 23rd. It's at One Woodward, and I believe it begins at 5:30, and will run a few hours, I'm sure, in the evening.
Yeah, done by 8.
It's the Mobility and Equity event taking place. It's in downtown Detroit, and again, close to a lot of transit stops.
Yes.
It's not hard to get there. In fact, there's a bus stop right in front of the Buell Building that will pick you. That's where it will drop you off if you want to get there. But you look at the politics of this. You've been active in this for a long time, and I've asked you. I probably, I don't know how many times I've interviewed, ten times maybe.
Probably.
And every single time, I ask you, what's your level of optimism right now that we're getting this right? And frankly, well, and I got to follow up to that. So what's your level of optimism?
I am cautiously optimistic. I will say there are a lot of really good steps happening. Some of the pieces of the regional transit plan plan that was developed in 2016, well, not fully funded, things like the fast bus service that is hugely popular on Woodward, Gratiot, and Michigan right now was really built off that plan. The DART pass and the app, being able to pay for your transit on an app, is something that was proposed then. So some of these pieces are, in fact, moving forward. So it's great to see progress in those areas. And we're definitely seeing growing support. Certainly a change in Oakland County leadership makes a big difference. In speaking with the new county executive, Dave Coulter, he is a very strong transit supporter. He really sees how it can benefit certainly his original community of in Southeast Oakland County, but all of Oakland County and the whole region.
Well, and that's going to be the difficult thing here is selling people on the notion that this is good for everybody, regardless of whether or not you use it very often. But having those options, people don't often think ahead about a time where they might need an option. They might not be able to drive anymore. There are services that will service these people if indeed they vote in favor of this kind of stuff. How do you convince them to think beyond their immediate situation and start looking at the potential future?
One of the things that we've learned over the last few years, including from that narrow defeat in 2016, is that transit isn't a 30-second soundbite issue. People need to take a little more time to think about it. So we've been going out, True and our volunteers have been going out to community groups from the Sterling Heights Rotary to the Livonia Chamber to the Wixom.
All the opt-out communities.
Well, yeah.
Except for Sterling Heights, they're not.
Well, as well as Dearborn, Royal Oak, Detroit, all over the place, to talk with people about how transit, about some of these transit issues. Who needs it? Pausing to think not everybody can drive. All of us, as you were sort of alluding, are one broken foot away from not being able to drive or one broken axle. And so thinking about both how we need it as a society to ensure everyone can get where they need to go, that should be a basic expectation, that you can get where you need to go regardless of whether you drive. But then also people get excited about some of the specific aspects. Wouldn't it be great to be able to park and ride to the airport, not have to drive all the way from Sterling Heights all the way down to the airport and then pay through the nose for parking, to have a shuttle where you can drive a couple miles, hop on a nice luxury express bus to take you straight to the airport. Even if you use that three times in a year, the value is something that a lot of people start to recognize. So once we have an opportunity to really talk to people about this, many more people recognize, okay, this is something that is good for our region, that I might need someday, or someone in my family might need someday. And gosh, it might be nice to take a bus to the ball game. So that combination, no one silver bullet benefit, but that combination of benefits seems to bring people around.
Well, in a strange way. I mean, you know, as long as you've been talking about this and we've been talking about this and we've been fighting for a more unified transit system in the region, given all the options that are coming online, we almost seem to be in a strangely advantageous position to craft this in a way that truly is equitable and does take advantage of emerging technologies, whereas other cities that have maybe said they built a subway system, they're wedded to that. We are not. Does that give us any freedom?
It does a little bit, and we should absolutely be thinking more broadly. However, even if you talk, we did a forum last fall to first just ask, how does new mobility intersect with transit? And we brought together a bunch of people from the new mobility companies, from companies like Lyft or the scooters or such, and they all said they can never be a replacement for public transit. They can be a great supplement. So maybe you take
that last mile stuff.
Yeah,
as we call
exactly.
It. Sure.
Maybe you take a Lyft the 3 miles to the train station. You and 200 other people get on a train that zooms you right downtown, and then you take a scooter that last 3/4 of a mile to your office. You don't have to drive. You don't have to deal with the hassle of parking or the costs of cars and insurance. But you can still get wherever you need to go. So certainly the fact that there are a lot of options, I think, frees people up to think about it some more. But it's important not to think there were certainly some anti-tax transit opponents in the past who said, oh, who needs buses? We can all just take autonomous Ubers. And that's obviously not realistic if you think about it for more than 30 seconds. The cost is unrealistic. It leaves a lot of people behind. It actually increases traffic, not decreases traffic. So there isn't going to be an easy silver bullet solution where autonomous vehicles are going to solve everything. But by bringing together a variety of options, ensuring that they work for a wide variety of audiences, we can really work towards our mission of ensuring everyone can get wherever they need to go, regardless of whether they drive or not.
Well, Megan Owens has been my guest, again, Executive Director of Transit Riders United. There is an event on Wednesday. Again, it's at 1 Woodward, right at the corner of Woodward and Larned, right
yeah.
there. Yeah, so it's right there. It's Woodward and Jefferson. It's the Yamasaki Building. It looks like a miniature version of the old World Trade Center. Same architect. Again, it starts at 5:30, but you do need to RSVP. You can do that at DetroitTransit.org, which is your website. Mm-hmm. Who should show up at this tomorrow?
I think anyone who is interested in seeing how mobility is changing, whether you're an autonomous vehicle fan or whether you're a regular bus rider, we really want a broad spectrum of voices to participate in this discussion.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and we appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Happy for the opportunity. Thank you.
Megan Owens is the Executive Director of Transportation Riders United, joining us here on the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Don't go anywhere. More coming on the program. My friend Pat Batchelor will be joining us to break down the weekend in football. It was not a good weekend for those of us that like the Wolverines and the Lions. We'll talk a bit about that as we do on Mondays here on the show. Stay with me. The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Tech Town Detroit, Detroit's entrepreneurship hub. TechTown Detroit is a business incubator and accelerator, helping tech startups and local businesses launch and grow. TechTown supports businesses with co-working, office, meeting, and event space. They also connect entrepreneurs to resources and learning and networking events in Detroit. TechTown Detroit, Detroit's entrepreneurship hub. Hey, welcome back to the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Happy Monday, everybody. Although if you're a football fan in the state of Michigan, maybe not a Spartan fan anyway, you did not have a good football weekend. The Detroit Lions, of course, lost 42-30 to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. Michigan, of course, losing a squeaker to Penn State in Happy Valley on Saturday night. So many of us are sort of limping along this morning. But joining me once again to talk about sports, as he does on Mondays, is Pat Batchelor, morning anchor at WDET, Detroit Public Radio. Pat, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
All right, the Lions, man. No defense yesterday. The offense, if you would have told me yesterday morning when I woke up that the Lions were going to score 30 points and lose, I would have been a little shocked at that. I was predicting a lower scoring game, but the offense was there, but the defense could not stop the Vikings.
No, they couldn't. I mean, there were the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, had all day to hit his receivers. Dalvin Cook just basically eluded anybody who made a feeble attempt to tackle him. When you have that kind of a lethal combination, and when you don't have a lot of key players, I mean, even before the game started, the Lions had some injuries on defense that sort of hampered them from the beginning. But you look at the play of Damon Harrison, a.k.a. Snacks, yesterday, and really all season long. I mean, this guy was supposed to be the fellow who was going to stop the run and be a big presence in the middle of the Lions' defensive line. He hasn't really been that effective at all this season. And then, of course, he went down with an injury yesterday. I don't know how long he's apt to be out. But you've got to be able to you can't get into a shooting match with a team like the Vikings. They just have too many weapons. And I noticed early in the game, even when the Lions built 14-7 lead, I had the feeling that if this turns into a shootout, the Vikings are going to end up winning, and they did.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I mean, for all the blame that Lions fans like to put on Matt Stafford, it's tough to put anything that's happened this season on him. He seems to be playing pretty well, finding receivers, establishing a relationship with some guys. I mean, Marvin Jones Jr., 4 touchdowns yesterday. Heck of a weapon, heck of a player, and nice to see that there. But like I said, their offense played well, but you cannot allow these teams like these easy first downs when you got 3rd and 8. They had chances to get off the field all day and didn't even come close.
Yeah, there was one situation where Minnesota was called for a penalty that would have pushed them back 10 yards, and on second down, they would have had second down over and 21 yards to go. Instead, the Lions declined the penalty, setting up a 3rd and 11, which if it's 3rd and 11, you got to be able to get off the field, right? They
You'd
gave
think.
Up a first down. And, you know, so, and I'm not sure that if they'd taken the penalty, it would have made that much of a difference, because if you can get that many yards in one play, you know, they might have gotten that first down anyway. But, yeah, I mean, if you've there's something wrong with the defense. And when you consider that Matt Patricia is supposed to be a defensive guru of some sort, to see them just get pushed around the field like they were yesterday is just mind-boggling.
Well, and it's not, and they haven't been playing that way this year. I mean, the defense has actually been all right up to this point. I mean, they've given up those late leads, which is always a problem. But for the most part, they kept the Lions in games for a while. They didn't yesterday at all. And maybe we're just seeing a significant talent gap here. Is it just a talent gap, or is there something else going on?
Well, it could be a talent gap, sure. As I said, I mean, they've been dealing with injuries not only to Snacks Harrison, but also you've seen Darius Slay get hurt this year. Deshaun Hand, who is also a big presence on that defensive front, he was inactive yesterday. And it may be the scheme, too. You know, you've got to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. And they got virtually none on Kirk Cousins, and he was able to just carve up the Lions' defense all day long. It may just be a matter of personnel as opposed to scheme. So if they can figure that out and maybe get some players healthy, maybe things improve. As far as Matthew Stafford, I know that there were a few people, I guess, who wanted to pin it on him. They had a 4th and 2. He threw sort of a weak sidearm pass that fell short on that, and then had an interception on the very last drive of the game when it was already, you know, too late for them to do anything. If you're pinning this on him, then I don't know what game you're watching, because Stafford has, as you said, looked pretty good this year, better than I think we've seen him in a Lions uniform. You know, and hitting Marvin Jones, I mean, for four touchdowns, didn't see much from Kenny Golladay yesterday. I guess he was covered pretty well, but having that second weapon to throw to in Marvin Jones, you got two guys like that you can hit. You know, you should be able to put some points on the board, and they did. They've got to shore up the running game, though. Kerryon Johnson, he went out with an injury. That certainly didn't help things. Statistically, they averaged, I think, something like 4 yards a carry, but didn't really have much of an impact on the ground, whereas Dalvin Cook was unstoppable. You've got to be able to run the football if you're going to win games in the NFL.
Very true. Well, I'll tell you what. The Lions are 2-3-1 at this point in time. They're in last place in the NFC Central. The Bears look like they are not going to be a whole lot better than the Lions. Packers and Vikings, clearly the cream of the crop in the division right now. Although the Lions should have beat the Packers last week at Lambeau. But it's not over. Now, had you told me at the beginning of the season this team would be 2-3-1, I thought they were going to probably go 0-5 to start the season, to be honest with you, looking at the schedule and the way that it's set up. They're not out of it yet, but they've got to make some significant improvements and quickly, or else this thing's going to unravel quickly.
Well, they've got, yeah. The Packers, I think, are 6-1 now. They're 4 games behind Green Bay in the win column there with 10 games left. I mean, it would take a major turnaround. They would just have to rattle off about 7 or 8 victories in a row just to get back into it. With the schedule they've got coming up, the Giants next week, they should beat the Giants because the Giants are awful. They've got a couple of other teams on the schedule that they should beat
the Bears twice.
I don't know about twice. Maybe
oh,
at
they
home
looked they awful yesterday.
Well, but the Saints are an excellent team. I mean, the Saints are a Super Bowl contender,
even with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, so you know, I'm not saying that the Bears are a great team. They probably have a chance. I think they should at least split with the Bears. If you look at the records of the teams the Lions have played, their win and their tie came against teams with records of 500 or worse, and the 3 losses they've got, the 3 teams that they lost to have a combined record of 16 wins and 5 losses. So you know, when they're going up against teams that have similar records, they've got a good shot. I don't we'll have to see how the rest of the season unfolds, but right now, beyond the Giants, maybe Washington, maybe Tampa Bay, I don't know that there are too many opportunities for the Lions to win many more games and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. Like I said, they've got some talent, they've got some ability. We'll see whether or not they can actually put it all together for any of these one games, because they like I said, they could have been 5-0 had they done a few things differently. So they've got the ability to stay with some of these teams, but they can't seem to put it all together at the right time. All right. Well, hold on a second. Go ahead.
Well,
real
I was going to
wrap
say,
up on
I mean,
the Lions here.
Okay, a lot of people have been saying these aren't the same old Lions, but I'd make the argument that it is kind of the same old Lions. I mean, if you think about it, watching the Lions is like watching Scooby-Doo. It doesn't matter how many masks they put on. At the end of the day, Fred's still going to lift it off, and it's still going to be the same disgruntled, inept amusement park worker.
Mr. Ford.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling fans.
Or you meddling refs.
All right, there you go. Well, like I said, that only goes so far. There were no problems with the refs yesterday, man. The Lions just got smoked. All right, Hey, Michigan digs themselves a big hole on the road in Happy Valley. Valiantly scraps back, and if not for a dropped pass in the end zone, right in the guy's hands, they would have tied that game, potentially sending it to overtime, but you would have had to stop Penn State, obviously. There's a couple minutes left. But, man, that game turned out to be a lot better than it started out. I saw something from Michigan in the second half of that game, and I know there's no moral victories because with 2 losses, you're out of any real Big Ten playoff picture at this point or a championship picture. They still have stuff to play for this year, but Coach Harbaugh, I think, might be in a little bit of trouble because it doesn't seem as if this team's got enough to compete with the Ohio States of the world.
No, they don't, and they're going to get trucked by Ohio State at the end of the year again. The talent gap is just so wide, and not only the talent gap, but the coaching. I mean, look, I know there were people who were upset at Ronnie Bell for dropping that pass,
He's a kid, man. He had a heck of a day.
Well, now wait a minute. I hate the argument that they're kids. They're not kids. They're young men.
I'm just saying,
but this isn't Pop Warner. He's got to make
that
catch.
He had a good game, though.
He did, yeah, and what I was going to get at is that, you know, you can point to Ronnie Bell, but he's not the reason Michigan lost. You can't spot a team like Penn State 21 points and expect to come back and win. And Jim Harbaugh clearly does not have the ability, for whatever reason, to coach his team to victory in big games. 1-10 against ranked opponents since he came in. Again, just a very disappointing team on the road. I think this program has peaked under Harbaugh and may actually be regressing.
Well,
and you know, yeah. I don't see Michigan rising above where it is as long as Harbaugh is there.
Well, Notre Dame next week. I mean, you know, this week, I should say. I'm looking forward to that game. I have no idea what's going to happen there. Notre Dame looks pretty solid.
Notre Dame's going to win.
But it's at home, though.
That doesn't matter. Whether they win or not, it's irrelevant. It doesn't help them in the Big Ten because it's not a conference game, and we know that they can. That they can beat ranked teams at home. Big deal. Even if they win
well,
that game,
if they've struggled to do that recently.
Well, if you look at true, but you know, a win if you can still win at home, that helps. I mean, the Iowa game was not pretty, but they still won that game, and Iowa's still ranked. So you know, we saw what they did last year to Penn State and Wisconsin, teams that beat them this year when they went on the road. They crushed both teams at home last year. We know they can win those games. You look at the schedule, you know, I still think Notre Dame's going to win pretty handily. Wow. Ohio State's certainly going to crush them. You look at the one trap game they've got is Indiana, which looks like a fairly decent team. I mean, they can't play defense any better than the Lions can.
But. You are a Michigan grad, I should point this out, and you are a diehard Wolverines fan of all things. If, and this is just a total hypothetical here, Pat, if they pull off Notre Dame, Michigan State, and somehow beat Ohio State, again, big if, would that salvage Harbaugh's job?
Well, yeah, sure, it would salvage the job, but I mean,
but is that what he has to do to keep it?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't see if they get blown out again by Ohio State, how do you justify keeping a guy who's been there 5 years and has lost the one game that you have to win every year 5 years in a row and several of them by very large margins? I mean, his first game against Ohio State, the Buckeyes won that 42-7. You know, I mean, they've only had really one close game against Ohio State in the 4 years.
Yeah, that was the butt ball. He got his butt over the line, right?
Yeah, but yeah, right. But I think winning those games would certainly salvage his job. Although beating Ohio State at this point, still, I mean, Ohio State doesn't have to beat Michigan to win the Big Ten or to get to the championship playoff. You know, you're looking; they're going to roll everybody else. They'd still end up being 12-1, conference champion. Ohio State's not going to tank that game. Of course, because, you know, they always treat Michigan like it's the biggest game of the year, no matter what their record is, no matter whether they're in contention for the playoff or not. But, you know, it would be enough to save his job, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the program is getting anywhere, because in that sense, it's kind of a meaningless win. You know,
it's never meaningless to beat the Buckeyes.
There's nothing on the line.
Well, I know that, but still, bragging rights are always good, and ruining Ohio State's season is not a bad thing. If we beat Ohio State to keep them out of the playoff, I'm okay with that. I also think they've got their hands full with Wisconsin, which I'm baffled by Wisconsin's loss this weekend. It made no sense whatsoever. They were clearly looking ahead to this week against Ohio State. But all right, hey, Pat, last question for you.
Yes.
Not related to football here. You are also a baseball fan. I know this about you, as am I. And I'll tell you what, I have a rooting interest in this World Series, in that three of my favorite former Tiger pitchers are going to be starting in the World Series. You got Justin Verlander on the Astros, and of course, Max Scherzer and Anibal Sanchez over on the Nationals. Tiger fans just must be just, what were they thinking getting rid of these guys for these quote-unquote prospects that haven't done jack?
Well, yeah, they certainly would be a much better team if they still had these guys, but then
they'd be competitive.
Well, they'd
probably be in the playoffs.
Well, maybe, maybe not, because
if you give me Scherzer and Verlander, I'm telling you what, we're going to be competing with anybody.
Yes, they would be competitive, but they wouldn't necessarily be in the World Series. I mean, they didn't make the World. They only made the World Series
twice
with Verlander, and once with Verlander and the other two guys. You know, they had their shot. The Tigers did with these guys. They lowballed Scherzer. He went to the Nationals, and of course, they traded Verlander for prospects who have, as you pointed out, not yet panned out. A couple of them are still fairly young. So there's still some room for development there. But I mean, look, great for Verlander, great for Scherzer, and especially great for Sanchez. I mean, he looked washed up when he left Detroit. That he's found new life in Washington, that's a fantastic story. Good for him. I'm happy for all three of these guys. I'd personally like to see the Astros win just because they're American League and because I like Verlander best of all the former Tigers that are out there. But you also consider that they would have had to sign these guys to long-term contracts that are already weighing them down with Cabrera and Jordan Zimmermann. Look, what's done is done. The rebuild is underway. Yeah, the Tigers were awful this year, no question about it. Historically bad.
Oh, and they'll be awful next year, too.
But maybe not as awful. I mean, they
55 wins.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of things went wrong for the Tigers this year. It was a perfect storm of injuries, poor play, bad timing. I mean, when you lose Michael Fulmer before the season even starts, I mean, handicaps your rotation right from the beginning. Some of the other, Matt Moore, who they signed to pitch in the offseason. He looked good in his first game and a half and then suffered a season-ending injury. Tyler Ross, middle of the road kind of, you're looking at a fifth starter there. He went down with an injury. Damon Harrison, Jordy Mercer, the guys that they picked up to shore up the middle of the infield. I mean, they had the right idea, but it just worked out awfully for them. Just all these bad things happening at once. Hopefully that doesn't happen next season. Yeah, they're still going to be bad. They'll still bring up the rear in the Central, but hopefully we see some of these prospects develop some more. Maybe we get a taste of Casey Mize next year. Maybe we get a taste of Matt Manning. Maybe we get a taste of Isaac Paredes, who looks like the best pure hitter in the organization. We'll see. I'm going to judge the Tigers. I'm not going to judge them next year. I'll wait for a couple of years to see how the rebuild goes.
The wonderful thing here is that the offseason gives us reason for optimism.
Sure.
And until they start playing, we'll see. But, Pat, we got to wrap it up. Out of time for today. But I appreciate your insight, sir. We will talk again next week. Another tough test for both of these teams here. We can talk a little Michigan, Notre Dame, and hopefully we beat the Irish just because that would make me happy. That's all. All right. So we'll talk again, Pat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Pat Batchelor is the morning anchor at WDET in Detroit, my friend as well. And we talk sports every Monday on the program, or perhaps Tuesday if the Lions are on Monday Night Football. But after this last weekend, I don't think the league's going to be clamoring for them to do that anytime soon. But we always enjoy talking to him. And that's going to do it for the Craig Folley Show on this Monday. Thanks for tuning in. I do appreciate it very much, or searching for it, or finding it, or subscribing to it, or downloading it, whatever way you are getting this show, or maybe you're getting it at DeadlineDetroit.com. Doesn't matter which way you get it, just that you do. I certainly do appreciate all of the support that is coming my way. I'm having fun doing this, and it's a cool thing. Anyway, reach out to me. Send me an email, thecraigfolleyshow@gmail.com. It's not hard to find me there. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter. What else am I missing? Instagram, all that good stuff. All those social media channels, I am there. And don't forget, you can send me messages there as well. If you've got subjects you want me to look into, people you want me to talk to, reach out. I'm more than happy to chat. I love doing that. That's what I do. So feel free to get in touch with me and give me some suggestions on what I could be doing better, what I could be doing differently, what you like, what you don't like. It all works. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget, if you like it, share it. Let somebody know that you're listening to this program and that this might be one of those podcasts you like to listen to, because people are always looking for podcast recommendations. Hey, you give me once a week? I'd be really excited about that. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll talk again tomorrow. See you then. The Craig Folley Show is made possible in part by Deadline Detroit, one-stop shopping for all your news. Also, home to Deadline Detroit TV, which includes The Zip, a weekly wrap-up of the week's news with some humor. Deadline Detroit, one-stop shopping for all your news.